Studios in beautiful Potland, Oregon. And thank you for joining us here. Get the camera redirected while I got to shot this, but been a busy weekend. We were out at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference this weekend here at the Hilton in Portland, Oregon. There was a lot of great speakers, great events happening there, and we will be bringing you the highlights of that coming up on the Russ Belville Show. And stay tuned for that, because we've got my presentation at the media panel. That'll come up in the Radical Rant segment at the end of the show. And then in hour two, going to bring you the two keynote speeches. You'll hear a short keynote speech from my congressman, Earl Blumenauer, followed by a longer keynote speech by Judge Jim Gray, the LEAP speaker and former vice presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party. That's coming up in hour two, so stay tuned for that. Also on the show today, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at why we don't have a cannabis cup in the Pacific Northwest. All sorts of updates from High Times as to some of the other places they're able to have a cannabis cup, but not Portland, Oregon or Seattle, Washington. We'll tell you why coming up in Behind the Headlines. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, last Friday was a hell of a day. It was as if the prohibitionists were trying to get as much anti-marijuana rhetoric in over the weekend. Based on the National Survey on Drug Use and Health numbers that came out, I caught Project Sam in a massive gaffe on one of their press releases, so bad they were forced to retract the press release and retitle it. We'll tell you all about that in our drug war data mines. Also today, it's Monday. That means we get our regular dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. You can call in toll free at 844-207-2346. That's coming up at half past. Get your live questions ready in our chat room or call in and ask Dr. Mitch about cannabis science, culture, history, and health. But everything starts off with the 420 radio news, and in the news headlines today, we've got a Democratic presidential candidate who is openly courting the marijuana movement. We'll tell you who it is. We've also got the new regulations passed, finally, for statewide medical marijuana regulation in the state of California. It's got some activists very concerned. Washington State could be looking at more retail pot shops thanks to new changes in the law that will move medical dispensaries, many of them, into the recreational market. We've got Florida looking at not one but two opportunities to legalize marijuana, not just for medical use. We'll tell you about one of them coming up here. And we'll also look at Boston, Massachusetts, where a medical marijuana convention drew thousands over the weekend. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show from beautiful legal Potland, Oregon. We're back with the news right after this.
Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, it's Herb Thrasher, and this is 420radio.org.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Marijuana may be legal in some states, but it is still very difficult to advertise. Legal marijuana states have strict guidelines about where marijuana ads may be placed. 420 Radio provides advertisers a marijuana-related on-demand platform skewed toward older adults that meets Colorado and other legal states' advertising restrictions. Visit 420radio.org/advertise to learn how you can place web ads that are immune to ad block software and audio ads heard live on 420 Radio and stored permanently in the enormously popular Russ Belville Show podcast. 420 Radio is heard by legions of dedicated fans who make up the activist leadership and entrepreneurial base of serious marijuana law reformers. Our audience is older, better educated, and more financially secure than most marijuana-related media can boast. Learn more at 420radio.org/advertise. Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com. It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Replays of 420 Radio News are embeddable and shareable from our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/radicalruss. Now, the marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 14th, 2015. Democratic presidential candidate Martin O'Malley touts his progressive cannabis law reform history in a press release announcing a marijuana legalization listening session in Denver, Colorado this Thursday. The event will be held at the office of Vicente Cederberg, a law firm that has been instrumental in legalizing and regulating cannabis in Colorado. The former Maryland governor has had a difficult time capturing the liberal Democratic primary base, as Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has captured the hearts of progressive voters, including many cannabis law reform advocates, with his positive drug war reform statements and policy proposals. Frontrunner Hillary Clinton has locked up the establishment Democratic support so long as Vice President Joe Biden stays out of the race. Governor O'Malley, who does have a good history on marijuana policy, could be sensing an opportunity to garner support among Democratic primary voters by being the first presidential mainstream candidate to call for marijuana legalization. California lawmakers quietly passed Friday the state's most significant medical marijuana legislation in almost two decades, but some leaders in medical marijuana worry that the law's good intentions could get lost in the weeds. Paving the way for what supporters say is a much-needed regulatory framework for the state's multi-billion dollar medical cannabis industry, the California Senate and Assembly voted to approve the historic Medical Marijuana Regulation and Safety Act, which will require licenses for cannabis dispensaries and create a new state agency to oversee the industry. Steve D'Angelo, co-founder of the Arcview Group, Mammoth Marijuana Investment Firm, and the Harborside Health Center, a nonprofit dispensary in the state, said, quote, "Some of the language in the bill is unclear or may be in conflict with prior legislation," end quote. Meanwhile, lawmakers who approved the measure say they had waited long enough. Quote, "We knew it had to be done this year," end quote, said Assemblymember Rob Bonta. Washington could get lots more pot stores. State regulators will allow medical marijuana providers to seek retail licenses later this fall. There are no strict limits on how many new licenses could be granted, and there is no requirement that they focus on medical patients. The passage of Initiative 502 in 2012 launched Washington's regulated marijuana system, but officials watched in dismay as hundreds of unlicensed medical marijuana dispensaries sprouted on street corners around the state. Now, under a new state law, gray market marijuana providers must get state retail licenses or close their doors. Liquor and Cannabis Board spokesman Brian Smith said the number of new licenses his agency can grant is open-ended. He said legislators estimate that 800 dispensary owners may seek the new licenses, and perhaps 400 will be eligible to receive them. So far, the Liquor and Cannabis Board has issued 196 retail licenses in the state of Washington. Michael Minardi is on a mission to make recreational marijuana legal in Florida next year. Minardi is a West Palm Beach attorney who won a medical necessity defense for pot charges against his client. He has teamed with fellow attorney Bill Wolsifer and marijuana activist Karen Goldstein to form the corporation Sensible Florida and an associated group Regulate Florida. Together, they have developed a proposed amendment to the state constitution that would legalize and regulate recreational marijuana for adults. The Florida Cannabis Act proposes legalizing pot and regulating it like alcohol. It would allow anyone 21 or older to purchase and possess up to an ounce of marijuana and, if licensed, grow up to 6 plants at home. A convention focused on medical marijuana drew several thousand people to downtown Boston over the weekend as Massachusetts gears up for a likely ballot fight over legalizing the substance for recreational use. 50 national and local vendors hawked their wares, which included pipes, lights aimed at helping marijuana grow, and a $150 machine that can make edibles infused with the substance, along with salves. The convention, held inside the Castle at Park Plaza, also highlighted an industry in its infancy in the Bay State, as some young men in t-shirts laid out their pipes on a table, and not much else. They stood alongside older men in suits promoting medical marijuana dispensaries and software meant to help manage dispensaries' businesses. Voters could end up deciding whether to legalize marijuana for recreational use in 2016 if supporters of two competing initiatives clear a number of hurdles. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, September 14th, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
The Russ Belville Show, where we don't change our position on decriminalization in an election year.
The Russ Belville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest growing business association in the fastest growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details. NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs. Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
And behind the headlines today, we're going to talk about why we do not have a cannabis cup in the Pacific Northwest. And before we begin, let me make it perfectly clear. High Times would love to have a cannabis cup in Seattle and in Portland. So how in the hell is that not happening? This weekend, High Times announced the new Central California Medical Cannabis Cup, bringing to three the number of events being held in California where vendors can openly display marijuana and any adult patient who wants to can enjoy their marijuana freely in the medication area. Clio, Michigan recently held its Medical Cannabis Cup as well. So how is it those two non-legal states can have four cannabis cups while two legal states can have zero? This year, High Times announced the first international cannabis cup not in Amsterdam, as the event will pair with the Rastafari Roots Fest to celebrate decriminalization of sacramental ganja and medical cannabis on the island nation of Jamaica. So how is it High Times can bring the leaders of a foreign government and a world religious movement together to work out a suitable arrangement for holding a cannabis cup, in a place where marijuana is still technically illegal under national law and international treaty, but they can't find an event space to hold a cannabis cup in the two states where recreational marijuana and medical marijuana are legal? Well, it's as simple as the song goes. Blame it on the alcohol, folks. In both Washington and Oregon, the oversight and regulation on recreational cannabis falls to the liquor control boards, In Washington State, it's the Washington State Liquor and Cannabis Board. And in Oregon, it's the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. Here in Oregon, the OLCC has promulgated rules that declare, quote, any establishment with a state liquor license is public, including patios or decks set aside for smokers. Allowing marijuana use may put an establishment's liquor license in jeopardy, end quote. And then our marijuana legalization states that marijuana cannot be displayed or used in a public place. Now, here's the kicker. It doesn't even matter if the venue is serving alcohol at the time. So that eliminates from cannabis cup consideration just about any venue that holds a liquor license, which is just about any venue with the size, layout, parking, and access that can handle 10,000 tokers at a time. Now, High Times tried. They went as far as trying to have the event in a suburb 20 minutes drive south of Portland called Milwaukee, using closed-off streets and warehouse space to hold an event about half the size, but they got nowhere with the local authorities. So no Portland Cannabis Cup yet. Then, in Washington State, the State Liquor and Cannabis Board had the same sort of opposition to public marijuana use venues, but they had been backing their threats up by using the Clean Air Act to go after venues with alcohol that might allow pot use. You'll remember Frankie's Sports Bar and Grill in Olympia. We visited it on the show. They skirted the ban by allowing the second floor to be a volunteer-staffed private club, and other places formed BYOB, you know, bring your own buds, private clubs and vapor lounges for cannabis consumers to hang out and socialize. But undeterred, the Washington governor pressured the Liquor and Cannabis Board to adopt rules to prohibit marijuana use at any place with a liquor license. Later, the legislature followed up by adopting a law that makes operating, quote, a club, association, or other business, for profit or otherwise, that conducts or maintains a premises for the primary or incidental purpose of providing a location where members or other persons may keep or consume marijuana on the premises, end quote, a Class C felony. And that pretty much killed any possibility of a Seattle Cannabis Cup. Now, the liquor authorities in Washington and Oregon want you to know that they're doing this for your own good, you see. Seattle's Como News reports, quote, officials are concerned about people mixing marijuana and alcohol, especially if they're going to be driving home, end quote. Okay, sure. So why are they working to prohibit marijuana use in public places that aren't serving alcohol where the marijuana is used? And why would that be a concern in the Portland suburb of Milwaukee, where officials just opened up a brand new light rail line that goes straight to where the venue is located, especially after the OLCC gave a green light to have a beer garden at the celebration at the platform of the tracks at the Milwaukee stop opening this past weekend? Sorry, you can't convince me this is due to the fear of impaired drivers when there has never been much effort to force bars to require a valet to take their patrons' car keys and require a successful breathalyzer blow to get them back. This is a war between drugs, plain and simple. Big alcohol doesn't like the idea of marijuana crowding its monopoly on good time public party fun, and big government doesn't like the idea of mainstreaming the acceptance of adult public marijuana use. So long as marijuana smoking remains a dirty, harmful habit whose addicts are outlaws, tolerated only so long as they remain housebound, it remains possible to maintain discrimination against those consumers in employment, childcare, medical care, and other segments of society. We may have been emancipated, but we still remain in our Jim Crow status of second-class citizenship. The majority forces upon us an unjust law they do not hold themselves to. Alcohol drinkers and tobacco smokers have numerous public events at which they may socialize.
Unbelievable.
It's not fair, it's not right, and we will not stop until Portland and Seattle are allowed to have the same kind of cannabis cup that Denver throws annually. Speaking of Denver, it's 4:20 in Denver, Colorado. It's time for us to take a break. When we come back, we've got some drug war data mining in the National Survey on Drug Use and Health and how the prohibitionists can't help but spin it the wrong way.
Get Get the latest updates on the Russ Belville Show by following Radical Russ on Twitter and liking the Russ Belville Show on Facebook.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
You're listening to 420 Radio. Listen Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific for Marijuana Today, podcasting on Shout Engine. Marijuana Today is the most in-depth discussion and analysis of the current state of marijuana business and politics, featuring guests from the top activism, lobbying, and business organizations working to perfect marijuana legalization in the United States. Check our online listings for Marijuana Today with Chris Lodekar from marijuanatoday.com.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Well, folks, the 2014 National Survey on Drug Use and Health got released late last week, and the prohibitionists dug into it, feverishly trying to find the proof they needed to show that legalization of marijuana in Colorado and Washington State led to an epidemic of teenagers turning into pot zombies, roaming the streets in search of strains. Unfortunately for them, the data did not show that to have happened. But that did not stop them from trying to fool the mainstream media with their press releases. The Community Anti-Drug Coalitions of America, also known as CADCA, issued a headline that read, 2014 National Survey on Drug Use and Health finds marijuana use continuing to rise among youth. Now, if you get past the headline and you actually read their text, they'll even tell you they're playing shenanigans with the data. They say marijuana continues to be the most commonly used illicit drug, 8.4% of Americans 12 and older, up from 7.5% in 2013, but especially growing among those 26 and older, the percentage of teens who were current marijuana users in 2014 was similar to recent years. They say it themselves in the press release that is headlined, "Marijuana Use Continuing to Rise Among Youth." Other than it's been similar than recent years. And they even note in another paragraph that the increase in marijuana use was, quote, driven particularly by the increase in adult marijuana use. In fact, taking a look over the past decade, marijuana use for teens monthly was 7.6% in 2004, 7.4% in 2009, and 7.4% in 2014. Hasn't really changed in a decade. But monthly use of cigarettes went from 11.9% to 4.9%, just about cut in half or more. Monthly use of alcohol went from 17.6% to 11.5%, cut monthly use of alcohol by about a third. So despite CADCA's predictions, marijuana use has remained steady among teens, while the use of the two legal drugs that can actually kill you has gone down. And General Dean, who is the head of CADCA, believes that as the public begins to perceive marijuana as less harmful, it's sending the wrong message to the youth. He was actually right about that. The kids are getting the message that marijuana is less harmful than alcohol and other drugs. And in fact, the perception of risk by teens has declined. The perception of risk, that is, kids who think smoking pot at least once a week can be harmful, has fallen to only a quarter of 16 and 17 year olds who believe that. Now, of course, their perception of risk has gone down because marijuana has gone from being the gateway drug to heroin that supports terrorism and turns your brain into a fried egg to being a legal herbal product mom and dad might use. Of course, the perception of risk is going to go down. But over that same 10-year period, as the risk perception went down, the marijuana use stayed the same. And then my favorite cherry picking of data came from Kevin Sabet's Project Sam. Kevin Sabet's Project Sam issued a press release. Now, they dug deep to try to find some scary stats. Their headline says, Health and Human Services finds heavy marijuana use soaring among young people. All caps. Heavy marijuana use soaring among young people. Here's their quote. Today, the Department of Health and Human Services found that heavy marijuana use among monthly users, defined as 20 or more days of marijuana use per month, significantly increased among 12 to 17-year-olds in 2014 compared to 2013. Overall past month marijuana use among those 12 and older also jumped significantly. Well, here's the problem. The headline is precisely the opposite of what happened. The data comes from Table 6.1b, number of days used marijuana in the past year among past year users and the number of days used marijuana in the past month users by age group percentages 2013 and 2014. And when you look at the table, among minors aged 12 to 17 who use marijuana monthly and used it 20 or more days per month, it declined from 25.6% to 21.8%, a relative decrease of 14.8%. Even when you look at the annual teen users, kids that are using pot 100 days a year or more declined by a third. So the problem here is they looked at the table and transposed the 2 years, thinking the first number was 2014, the second number is 2013, got it backwards. Now, when I pointed this out to him in a series of tweets and article I wrote for Marijuana Politics, the author, a guy named Will, quickly changed and scrubbed the data section part, right? The text. He took out the part about 20 or more days per year and all that, but kept the same headline over the weekend. It wasn't until the Washington Post got a hold of Kevin Sabet personally to complain about the false lie of a headline did they reissue a brand new press release with a different headline. So the news is, kids are getting the truth about marijuana, and it's not making them smoke pot any more than they ever did before. But that's not the kind of news Project Sam wants to hear. Inadvertently, Project Sam has told us that in the first year since full retail legalization has transpired, among kids nationally who smoked pot in the past month, they're doing it less often. The rate of kids nationally smoking pot monthly hasn't changed, even though those kids are more likely to think regular pot smoking isn't harmful. When the opponents of marijuana legalization like Project Sam are making the case for us, you know they're flustered. We're back with Dr. Mitch right after this. Get your questions ready.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. The Russ Belville Show, the National Wildlife Refuge for Marijuana Unicorns.
At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs, and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics, Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of the Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
This is Cannabis Facts from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. Supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. In 1937, the second most prescribed medicine, marijuana, was banned. It wasn't about marijuana. The paper, oil, and chemical industries lobbied to end hemp farming. No longer labor-intensive, an acre of hemp produced more quality paper than 4 acres of trees. Plastics and fibers could be produced from a plant. Hemp can even produce 10 times the energy of today's ethanol. As marijuana prohibition ends, many states now allow farmers to again grow hemp. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to process America's hemp crop at hempinc.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone. We got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line. How you doing, Dr. Mitch?
Happy Rosh Hashanah.
Happy Rosh Hashanah to you too, sir. Hey, we want to let everyone know the chat room is open for questions, or you can call in live at 84420 Radio. We got a lot to cover, so let's just dig right into the topics today. One that is very, very timely for me, a Medscape article that's talking about how heavy marijuana use is tied to midlife pre-diabetes, but not diabetes. And as a midlife guy, I'm 47. I just got diagnosed with pre-diabetes. What do I need to know, Dr. Mitch?
Well, the weird thing about this is I honestly don't think cannabis is the issue. And I can, you know, walk through the sort of idea that maybe munchies led you to eat too much sugar or something like that. But it really does come down to just standard diet stuff. And I feel like folks who are rushed, folks who are used to, you know, working outside the law and stuff, often find themselves eating the foods that aren't necessarily conducive to good insulin functioning. And, I mean, I hate to say it, the data suggests that, you know, laying off the sugar, laying off the sweets, keeping the exercise high, and switching to a plant-based diet are really the way to go. Nobody ever likes to hear those data, but that's really what the science keeps saying.
You know, we've seen other studies that have shown that regular cannabis consumers tend to have a lower body mass index. I'm wondering, is this study catching people who would have normally come up for diabetes, and they're just catching them for pre-diabetes? Like if the average was 3 out of 10 people get diabetes, but now we're finding 2 out of 10 of them are getting pre and only one's getting diabetes, wouldn't that be a good thing?
Well, in fact, there may be sort of a buffer about this. I'm also eager to point out that we're finding more and more folks who are regular cannabis users are less afraid to go to the physician now and talk about it. And so I feel like some of this may have been there all along and just never got uncovered before.
Ah, good point. All right, looking to the high school students, this was a big scare that came out through the media in a study that showed 1 out of 5 high school kids who uses e-cigarettes tried to use those vaporizers to vaporize marijuana. And of course they freak out about how easy it is to conceal and the smell's not as bad and so forth. What do we know from this data?
What's intriguing here is really what's left unsaid, and that's that we actually don't know how the e-cigarettes work as far as some of the propylene glycol and the things that are made for cannabis-related products. So I hate to sound like an alarmist, but we just don't have those data. And we've, you know, had a couple of neat folks in the field just point out that these cannabis-based liquids aren't necessarily something we know a whole lot about. And then, in truth, I'm not fainting from the idea that folks who've got a vaporizer or a vapor handy would try cannabis oil in it. that's just something we would expect teens to do. But I don't feel like the usual messages against adolescent use are going to be any different as far as this kind of use is concerned. Mm,
all right. And we have a question from our chat room wanting to know if you've heard of any folks that have recipes or methods of turning Rick Simpson oil, the kind of liquid viscous oil, into more of a salve. Have you ever heard of that?
I honestly haven't. In truth, I don't have anything published to suggest that the Rick Simpson oil is necessary for making a salve. So, in truth, any of the standard oil-based procedures that would make a salve with regular plant cannabis are probably going to be cheaper in the long run anyway.
Okay. A great story coming out of the Daily Caller showing that marijuana users are 45% less likely to fall victim to bladder cancer. Didn't know that we were very likely to fall victim to bladder cancer in the first place, but what is this news telling us?
Well, what's curious about this is an odds ratio that if it were going in the other direction, I would say, hey, this isn't big enough to make a big deal out of. And so I hate to say it, but this is nice, and the idea that local cannabinoids in the bladder might somehow protect against cancer, but the until it's like doubling the effect, I'm just not too optimistic about this replicating. When we get a larger effect size, then I'll start trying to hunt down the mechanism. We know that locally THC and other cannabinoids can have anti-cancer effects. It wouldn't be stunning that they'd also generalize to the bladder, but I don't want to jump up and down about this until we've got a headline that says marijuana users half as likely to fall victim to bladder cancer. Then I would suddenly be a little more intrigued.
Okay. Is the risk of bladder cancer that great in the first place?
Not until about age 70.
Okay.
So I feel like we're dealing with such small fractions, even though this is an 11-year follow-up data set, that I just don't want to make a big deal out of it. You know, this is one of those things where it's a huge sample and it's statistically significant, but the effect is actually pretty small. And so I would hate to think that this is the way to prevent bladder cancer. It's actually better to just keep your alcohol consumption and tobacco consumption down.
Yeah. And when we're talking about these low incidences, it kind of reminds me, you know, if you buy a lottery ticket, you got a 1 in a million chance to strike it rich. And if you buy two, you may have doubled your chances, but there's still not a lot of chance there.
And in fact, it's just barely above zero. So.
Exactly. All right. We got to follow up on the Rick Simpson salve question, wondering, you know, do tinctures work as well when we're talking about skin? I mean, can you use a tincture for transdermal just like you would use a salve?
Well, what's funny is we didn't have documented transdermal basically absorption of THC until we had some of these things that are a little bit like a nicotine patch, and they actually kind of abrade the skin. Mm. And so as much as I love those, you know, tincture oil massages and things like that, we actually don't have published evidence that that would be the case. I think that would be a great place to start. So an alcohol-based tincture in an oil-based salve, coconut oil or something like that, would certainly be pleasant regardless, and that would be a great place to experiment without having to spend a lot of money and go from there.
All right. A big statistic that came out last week and was, you know, heralded by a number of online outlets was that daily marijuana use among college students is at the highest rate in 35 years. I mean, they studied it in 1980. They got a big number, and it's been lower than that ever since, until now. So, Dr. Mitch, are all your new incoming freshmen just blazed all the time or what?
Well, what happens, in fact, and I've got some new data on this, is when you make the survey as anonymous as possible, some of these rates actually end up being higher than they would be if they're not making it as anonymous as possible. And so I think as the stigma associated with cannabis use is dropping, this Monitoring the Future program, which is a big survey done by the University of Michigan, is basically letting folks feel more comfortable fessing up. So I'm not sure if this is really so much a big increase in use as it is an increase in confession of use. But the other thing what we're finding is that basically daily or near daily marijuana use isn't necessarily a great predictor of problems, particularly if it's late in the day. So if you're, you know, getting high a half an hour before you watch The Simpsons and go to bed, odds are high it's not creating a lot of negative consequences. It's the wake and bake folks who then try to run to class and comprehend something that often run into trouble.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at the graphs of alcohol, marijuana, and cigarette usage. Alcohol pretty steadily goes down, and cigarette pretty steadily goes down, and it makes sense. You'd think as people get more educated, there's going to be less use. Marijuana went way up in the 70s, and then way down in the 80s, and then way up in the 90s, and then flattened out in the 2000s. It seems to correlate better with the messages coming out of the White House than anything else. 1980s, of course, the Nancy Reagan Just Say No era, and what do you know? People didn't want to admit to a government pollster that they were smoking pot.
I mean, I can hardly blame him when Reagan was in the White House. I didn't want to confess to literally having any taxable income.
Yeah, so, good point.
You can imagine it's a tough situation where you've got self-report bias contributing as much as actual use, and I'm actually you know, not trying to encourage daily use. But clearly the negative consequences are the thing to measure, not did you actually smoke a joint.
All right, folks, that's all the time we've got, unfortunately, to get questions in for Dr. Mitch. But if you've got a question that didn't get answered, you can always send it in privately and anonymously by emailing 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. And Dr. Mitch will be with us next Monday for another edition of Cannabis Q&A, so you can call in next week if you want to. Happy Rosh Hashanah, Dr. Mitch, and give my best to your family.
Hey, thanks so much for all the fun when I was in Portland there, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, we got Dr. Mitch out in the convertible. He was digging it. Take it easy, Dr. Mitch. We'll see you next week. All right, folks, stay tuned. We got time for the Radical Rant, a recording of my presentation on the marijuana and media panel just yesterday. Right about 4:20, as a matter of fact, on yesterday's Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference at the Hilton in downtown Portland, Oregon. And then stay tuned for hour two. We got Judge Jim Gray and Congressman Earl Blumenauer from the same event.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. You're listening to Radical Russ on the Russ Belville Show.
This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer. Herb Age Designs, lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly. Herb Age Designs, we've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear. Herb Age Designs, we've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at herbagedesigns.com. And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
Hey, what's up? It's Herb Thrasher, and you're listening to 420 Radio.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right, for today's Radical Rant, my appearance at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference.
Our next speaker, in many ways, helped pave the way for the alternative media covering marijuana. He's been at it for a long time, longtime activist with Normal. He's now the executive director with Portland Normal. He's got the Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. He blogs for us at marijuanapolitics.com. He writes for High Times, Alternate, the Huffington Post. He is the thorn in the side of prohibitionists all across the country. One of the hardest working men in the marijuana movement. Give it up for Mr. Russ Belville.
Give it up one more time for Anthony Johnson. As he said, I'm Russ Belville. I'm the Howard Stern of marijuana, I guess, the king of all media, something like that. But it's my pleasure to be doing this. I can't believe it's actually a job. But I want to find out a little bit about the folks out there. How many of you are in the growing business or getting into it? Okay, how about the dispensing business or getting into it? Processors, like making edibles or tinctures? Okay. So everybody here is kind of, you know, obviously, medical marijuana business conference. You got a business angle here. So how does the business angle fit in with the media angle, fit in with what I'm doing? It's because what you do makes the stories that the media will report on. And sometimes you make our jobs easy. You get an Anthony Johnson running a Measure 91 and having a smart, sophisticated campaign, makes my job really easy to defend that. On the other hand, you have people opening up a medical marijuana dispensary and calling it wake and bake, makes my job a little harder, right? So I'm a little selfish on this. I'm looking about how are you gonna make my job easier as business people, and the way you'll do that is by following sensible regulations, pushing for strong self-policing, having high standards, you know, professionalizing this industry, forcing the people out there to understand that we are professional, law-abiding citizens who are just trying to fuel the American economy and trying to bring something that's been happening for years above ground to benefit society as a whole. So, some of the ways that we can start thinking about this is to think about how the media is portraying us and what effect we can have on those portrayals. When I first started getting into this, around 2008, I was working for National Normal, and I was on a media panel of some sort, and it was a presentation I was doing, and I did like a top 10 list of the pot pun headlines. Have you seen these? You get these, you get some serious news story to come out, you know, say it's a legislative failure, and they'll say, the plans of the initiative went up in smoke Tuesday. It was a pipe dream. They just couldn't hash it out. Right? These are mainstream organizations, mainstream USA Today, New York Times, you know, LA Times, with pot pun headlines. And I struggle to think if this were a serious legislative failure for the LGBT community, or black community, or handicapped community, that they'd be so light about it, that they'd use this pun and these kind of derogatory terms. Anthony brought up that point of going to the Oregonian about medical around marijuana. And these things are important because we all live in conceptual frames. And the frames define how we see things and how we vote and how we decide on leadership and so forth. And if the frame around medical is, you know, sarcasm quotes, makes it harder for people like me to defend what's going on. So that's why it's important that we catch these people, catch the media, catch the government especially when they use these kind of terms, and call them on it. The LGBT community did this years ago when they pushed for accurate reporting of their issues, to no longer call it gay marriage, but marriage equality, to no longer call it homosexuality, but to call it gay and lesbian. There's all sorts of ways they influence the debate by changing the frames. So as business people, these media sources, by the way, are in the business of selling advertising, and they can only sell advertising if they're getting a lot of clicks, if they're getting a lot of hits. And if they know that the business people out there might not want to advertise with them if their industry is being portrayed in a negative way, that's going to affect the way they report as well. Another thing that I think is important as far as what I'm doing, and a lot of folks, Smell the Truth, a lot of great blogs, Marijuana Politics, is that we are providing the important counter-narrative sometimes, because the way the mainstream media will report on things can be shaped by our opponents who oftentimes have PhDs behind their names. They have the trust of the public because they work in the rehab industry, or they're in law enforcement, or they're elected officials who, despite all that, don't really know a whole lot about what they're talking about when it comes to marijuana. There's a lot of ignorance out there, and those of us who are educated in this have the duty to report on this and to show how they are misframing our issue. So let me give you an example, because I was just so thrilled this week that this was coming up, this panel came up, and this week there was like four or five different stories that covered my point exactly. It's like the timing couldn't have been better. The first thing that happened, this was back last month in August, there's two surveys that the federal government does on the use of marijuana in America, or use of drugs in America. One is called Monitoring the Future. It's been done by the University of Michigan since 1975, and they've asked 12th graders their various experience with drugs and alcohol. Over time, they added 8th and 10th graders, undergrads, and so forth, added more questions. But generally, this has been a long-term, you know, since 75, what is that, we're 40 years now, of this study where they ask questions about drug and alcohol use. So this time, when they asked these questions, they found out that there was a slight rise in the pot smoking among college kids. And college kids defined as the first 4 years out of high school. So, you know, 18 to 22-ish area. And there was headlines all over the internet, all over the papers that said, pot smoking in college is on the rise. Pot smoking in college is the highest it's ever registered since 1980. And the way they do this is they take this little fact, which is technically true, out of context and away from any other of the facts that would give you some idea what's really gone on here. There was a hint of it with some other headlines. Some other headlines came out and said, more college kids are smoking pot daily than cigarettes. More college kids are smoking pot than cigarettes, oh my God. And the whole idea, the framing around this was, A, legalization happened, and B, oh my God, they're smoking pot. Well, you could have kind of predicted that, perhaps, but how scary was it in context? Well, the headlines actually should have read, slight rise in pot smoking, alcohol and cigarette use at lowest rates ever recorded. Mm-hmm. It's not that pot smoking went through the roof and past cigarette smoking, it's that cigarette smoking crashed through the floor below pot smoking. And there's these great graphs, you can find them on Marijuana Politics. I drew up the graphs of the alcohol use, tobacco use, and the marijuana use among the different age groups. And basically what we found is, since I went to high school, I graduated in 85. In 1985, 9 out of 10 of my high school senior classmates had tried alcohol, at least tried it. And 7 out of 10 had tried cigarettes, and about 5 out of 10 had tried pot. Now, in the latest data, kids graduating high school, seniors, about 7 out of 10 have tried alcohol, about 4 out of 10, less than 4 out of 10 are smoking cigarettes, and about 4 out of 10 are smoking pot. Now, we didn't arrest or ticket or fine or force rehab anybody who is an adult who is smoking or drinking in that time to get those declines. But the media won't give you that context. We have to force that context. We have to say that pot smoking doesn't happen in a vacuum or over just a 1 year period. We have 40 years worth of data to look at here. And so that's part of what we do, is to give context. Another story that came up is that the National Survey on Drug Use and Health came out. This is the second of those studies that asks about drug and alcohol use amongst various populations. And the Project SAM office here in Oregon, which there exists such a thing now, talk about timing, about 3 years late, right? But anyway, there's a Project SAM is Smart Approaches to Marijuana. It's Kevin Sabet's organization. It's the leading anti-legalization org out there. And so this guy from Project SAM Oregon made a big deal of the fact that in the latest figure, the 1 year increase among teenage monthly pot smokers in Colorado, it went up like 4.8% or something. It was don't have the number memorized, but it went up a slight bit, right? 4 or 5%. Big, huge deal. We legalized pot in Colorado and more teenagers are smoking pot. But the context he left out is that the state of Florida, pot smoking among teenagers went up like 7%. Florida went up more than Colorado. Utah went up more than Washington. So there's context that they leave out, and it's up to us to provide this context. Third story On this same national survey on drug use and health, they came out with a headline that says, Health and Human Services, this is Project Sam again, at the national level, Health and Human Services finds that pot smoking dramatically increasing among the youth. Pot smoking, marijuana use dramatically increasing among the youth. And within the text, they say, among monthly pot smokers, teenagers who smoke pot monthly, those who smoke 20 days or more a month, the heavy users, went up a staggering percentage, went up, it significantly increased. Marijuana legalized in Colorado, significant increase in heavy use among monthly pot smokers. And so I have this tendency, whenever they state something like that, I want to go find the table and actually look it up. And I looked it up and I discovered they transposed the years. Heavy monthly use actually decreased almost 15% in the year after legalization. So I called them on it, wrote a post on marijuanapolitics.com, left a comment with a link to the table that the federal government produces saying, you might want to take a look at line 5 there. They changed the text within, but didn't change the headline. They kept blurring that headline out over the Labor Day weekend. Not accidental, folks, in my opinion. This is when the kids are going back to school and it's time to scare the parents and let's just show them how bad legalization is. Fortunately, Christopher Ingraham for the Washington Post picked up on this and wrote a piece on this that forced Kevin Sabet and these guys to issue a blundering public apology and take down the headline. So this is the kind of impact we are having now where the mainstream's starting to have our back. Washington Post is starting to have our back. So to wrap up, you know, I'm a child of the 80s, right? I lived through Nancy Reagan showing up on Different Strokes to tell Arnold and Willis to say no to drugs. Remember who's with me, right? I lived through the time when the federal government was supplying money surreptitiously to TV producers, Hollywood producers, to slip in anti-drug storylines into the sitcoms and the family dramas. We lived through the war. I go back to this is your brain on drugs, fried egg ad, all the way through the George W. Bush, you smoke pot, so you helped terrorism ads. So to be at this time in history when we have billboards out on MLK with a big hunk of shatter on them, when we've got entrepreneurs sitting in this audience and all throughout the state who are ready to actually have a growth industry, pardon the pun, in this country once again, jobs that can't be shipped to Mexico, jobs that can't be outsourced, jobs that can't be replaced by technology. I am so honored and proud to be doing the job I'm doing in the media. I'm Radical Russ. You can find me everywhere online under Radical Russ. Thank you so much.
There we go. I was actually the last speaker of the last day at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference. Very excited to be that. And thanks to Alex Rogers, Anthony Johnson, and the whole crew for having me out there at the event. Stay tuned. We got some heavyweights coming up in the next hour. We're going to open up with Congressman Earl Blumenauer, my congressman. His speech at the Oregon Medical Marijuana Business Conference yesterday. And then we got Roots Monday with Bacon Dan calling in with some tunes. And then we'll end the day with Judge Jim Gray. Thanks for joining us, folks. That's all the time we got for the podcast hour. You podcast listeners, you can catch a replay of the Russ Belville Show's second hour on 420radio.org. Just visit the donate section to become a monthly subscriber, and you can access the hour 2 replays. For everyone here at Rolla-J, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Now, it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
where you can tell.
I inhaled frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can talk and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about Toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So, by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios.
Freedom! Freedom! Hey, this is great! Freedom.